Welcome to Life Church Birmingham. We are glad you have listened today. We know God has a plan and purpose for your life and want to help you be successful in Jesus Christ. We know you will receive a message of hope and encouragement.
Are you ready for this morning? I'm fired up. I'm excited. Let's go on a journey. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. Here's what it says. This then is how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove, everybody say, faithful. Must prove faithful. Father, thank you so much for your word to us. We're very honored that you chose us before we even had the ability to say yes. Lord, you pursued us and pursued us and pursued us until we stopped saying no. So we thank you. Lord, this morning it's an honor. It's an honor to serve in your kingdom. It's an honor to be able to say yes to you. And so this morning I'm asking that you would help us with the word, help it to go deep, cut and divide, and to do its work. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's a guy, his name's Paul. Paul's writing a letter to a group of people in a city called Corinth. Corinth got two letters, 1 Corinth and 2 Corinth. Or if you live in Corinth, you are a Corinthian. So 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. Paul's writing to the church of Corinth in 1 Corinthians. Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Corinth was coastal community. Corinth was a coastal community. Like, they knew about water and ports. And ships would come in and out. Battleships would come. It's okay to laugh at yourself when you mess it up. Thank you. So he's writing to them, and he says, look, this is then how you are to regard us. Paul, in this case, is talking about himself and the apostolic leaders of the church. Okay? However, the application is for all of us. And he uses the word servants. This is how you ought to regard us, as servants. Servants get their hands dirty. The word servants is an interesting word right there. It means under rower. It means under rower. And I drew a picture of a ship over the weekend. We have that. I hand drew that. I painted it, an oil painting, and we just took a picture of it. You believe that? Don't believe that. And so this is actually, you know, the cameras back then didn't have as great a resolution as they do now, so that's what we got. But that's a picture. You see the guys on the very bottom? You see that? They're on the, I've always wanted to do this. The bottom guys. There's levels. Those are what he means when he says servants. That term was used for an under rower. This is how you are to regard us, as under rowers. Those on the bottom of the ship that are in charge of moving it forward. Four things about under rowers that'll help us to drive this home. Number one, under rowers have to trust the captain. Under rowers have to trust the captain. This is then how you ought to regard us, as servants of Christ. Under rowers of Christ. There we are. Those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Under rowers. Under rowers. God has revealed mysteries through Christ, through Jesus Christ, the mysteries that God has revealed to the world are in Christ. They are resident. They are hidden in Him. Not hidden in the sense that you can't see them, but hidden in the sense that they are in Christ, and this is super important, only in Christ. So when someone comes along that has another revelation in addition to Jesus Christ, right? Or another revelation that is better than or more improved upon Jesus Christ, you'll know right away. You'll know right straight away that's not from God. You'll know right away. You'll know that's a false spirit. So the application is that God has called us to be under-rowers. God has called us, and under-rowers have to trust the captain. They have to trust the captain. Paul says, you ought to be. Regard us. You ought to regard us. Jesus gives us the powerful picture of washing of feet. We've talked about that, right? He's given us the powerful picture of washing of feet. This is what you should do for one another. As I've done for you, I'm washing your feet. Remember the story in at the Last Supper? And he's washing their feet. They're shocked because foot washing is menial task. Foot washing is lowly work. Jesus bends down, he washes their feet. And at first, Peter, remember, Peter argues with him. You're not doing this to me. And Jesus says, if you don't let me do this, you'll have no part of me. You'll have no part of me. So he washes their feet. So the picture there that Jesus gives us is one of servanthood through washing feet. Paul expounds upon that and says, look, yes, wash feet. Another metaphor you could have is be an under-rower. Under-rowers have to listen to the captain. They have to trust the captain. Everybody in Corinth would understand what he meant, right? I grew up in Jacksonville, Florida, two Navy bases, Mayport and NAS Jax. So there's a naval oil station, there's a boat naval station. Naval station, that's a funny word, naval, just naval station. It's a boat for boats and planes. I remember as a kid not understanding, thinking it was kind of cool that sometimes my classmates would get out of school early because their dad had been gone like 6 months. And I'm like, why don't I get out of school? Well, because you see your dad every night. And they get out to go greet the battleships coming in, right? Everyone in Corinth was familiar with this lifestyle. They knew it. In battle, the under-rowers could not see the actual battle. They could not see it. They couldn't see it. They would maybe have a limited, throw that picture back up there. They maybe could look out their little portal, maybe their little hole where they're rowing, right, and see a portion of the battle, but they couldn't see the whole thing. And they would row in response to the commands of the captain. Most likely, there was a percussion instrument on board. There were signals to go forward, signals to go backwards, signals to stop, signals for the right side, signals for the left side. So they would turn right, turn left, go forward, go backwards. And many times, you see at the very top, way up here, that was like a battering ram on the front. They would ram other ships to try to sink them. So it was very important that the under-rowers do what they're told, but they had to trust the captain. Do you see the picture? And there's where we are, right? As a church, as a people, God is asking us to be servants, to go to the bottom where you are unseen and unknown at times, and trust the captain of the armies of the Lord. Trust the one who gives the commands. And so what we're asking is, God, would you increase our faith to the point where we could trust you when we really don't see the big picture? God, we could trust you when we don't really understand the battle. Oh, we get little glimpses and pieces. We get little parts, right? But we can't see the whole thing. But we would trust the one who's on the top of the ship up here, giving the commands so that we would be effective for the kingdom. And as our under rower, God's called us to that position. God's called us to row. God's called us to trust him. To trust the captain. Under rowers, trust the captain. Could someone get me a bottle of water? My bottle of water person has COVID, so they couldn't be here. Thank you. Thank you. Under rowers have to trust the captain. Are you willing to trust him when you don't understand everything? It's easy to trust in peacetime. It's easy to trust when it's like smooth sailing, right? It's easy to trust when things are going predictable. I like predictable. How many like predictable? I like predictable. can you trust him when it's predictable? Yes, that's an easy one. But can you trust him when it's unpredictable? God's asking you, will you trust me when you can't see me? Can you trust me? Can you just trust me? Can you trust me when you have to walk it by faith? I mean, you just really have to walk it by faith. You're walking by faith. As far as I know, Noah only heard the command to build the ark one time. I want you to think about that. For years he toiled, years he toiled, years he toiled, wondering. He had to wonder, am I nuts? When everyone's making fun of him, when everyone's poking at him, when everyone's saying, what a waste of a life. You're wasting your life. He had to trust God, trust the captain of the armies of the Lord. Number two, under rowers row in unison. Under rowers row in unison. I don't know what the sport's called, but it's the one where there's a bunch of people on this little skinny boat, and they're rowing really fast. I just call it like rowboat. I'm sure it's probably offensive if you're a rowboater. And I saw a deal one time where they had these rowers, and they actually pulled. Thanks, bro. Would you crack it open for me? They actually pulled a skier up. Yeah, pulled a skier up. So they got going, and they're pulling the skier from all these people rowing. It was nuts. Under rowers have to row in unison. There could be 80 to 100 rowers underneath these ships. They couldn't rely on the winds because the winds are unpredictable, right? Sometimes the winds work. When they do, put the sails up. Sometimes they don't work. You can't trust the winds because they shift. Under rowers, there could be 80, 100, maybe even more than that. And each oar could have several rowers on each oar. So as you see from the pitch, from the oil painting that I painted over the weekend for you, I really did drive 9 hours to get here. So they had to row in unison. Each oar had to hear the command. All the rowers had to be in sync so that the ship would go in the right direction. If the rowers get out of sync, then the ship would not go in the desired direction of the captain. Do you see yourself? God's called us. Throw that picture back up there. God's called us to be under rowers, to row in unison, not at the command, listen, of a person, but at his command. Not at the command of a celebrity or a personality, but of his command. He's called us to row in unison. Unity in the kingdom is absolutely crucial. And when there's not unity, the work becomes less efficient, less effective, and can be detrimental to life. Think of the context of a battleship, like this kind of battleship. Think of when they're trying to turn a boat, right? So one person, one side's going to row backwards, and the other side's going to row forward. You know how that works, right? The original zero-turn radius boat. Think of the rowers if they just responded to their limited point of view. Think if they only responded to what they could see out of that little window. Think of the chaos. Think of the destruction. Most likely, the ship would sink. They would be doomed. They would be in trouble. They would die. Unity is critical. Unity in the kingdom is crucial. And the lack of unity causes time and energy to go towards silly stuff. Silly stuff. Right? This is good. Just you didn't know that. Lack of unity causes time and energy to go put out fires. It becomes consumed with working through the emotions of he said, she said, you know. Jesus prayed a powerful prayer, and John records it. His words, here's what he says in John chapter 17. He prays to the Father. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message. I want to pause there at that comma. So he's praying for his disciples, but then he expands it, right? He expands it, and he says, I pray for those who will believe in me, what? Through their message. Christ is interceding for his body to be unified. Because if you are a follower of Christ, you fall under the second part of that verse. I pray for those who will believe in me through their message. That all of them may be one. I and them, you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. And a miracle happens. Then the world will know that you sent me and you have loved them even as you've loved me. So there's Jesus interceding for the under-rowers, right? Interceding for the under-rowers. There we are on the bottom of the ship. It's smelly, it's nasty, it's dirty work, it's hard work at times, right? But it's rewarding work if you love the captain. It's rewarding work if you honor the captain. And he says, I pray that all of them may be one. That all of them may be one. Now, let's not get sidetracked with that phrase. That they all may be one. This means that they all may be one under Christ. One under Christ. Not one as in many ways acceptable. One under Christ. And he emphasizes that. He says, I and them, and you and me. So one as in under Christ. You and me, Father, I and them, brought to complete unity. So how many know that this takes a little bit of work? This takes a little bit of work. You have to forgive me. I just came from a track meet. had to drive from Gainesville to the Georgia line for my heart rate to come back down. I just want to let you know. Where are we? This will take work. Notice that Jesus doesn't say that he prays that you become somewhat unified. Notice Jesus doesn't pray and he said, you know, give it your best shot and I'll work out the details. Jesus says, I want complete unity. Now that is a loaded prayer. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them. Then the world will know. I just want to throw this out. God is not glorified through gossip, backbiting, name calling, He's not glorified with that mess. Unity here doesn't mean that we agree on every single thing under the sun. That's not what it means. Unity as in under Christ. Christ is in charge. He's the captain. He's the one that tells us to row, how to row. He's the one that calls the shots. So what has to happen is we got to submit to that. It's a submission to him. The result is then the world will know. Ephesians 4:11 gives us an understanding. And Paul expounds upon this with a fivefold gift. I'll just read it to you. So God gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become, mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. There it is. So God gives gifts to the church to train us, equip us to reach unity in the faith. So what's a practical application of that? I don't think anyone's going to argue that gossip, backbiting, do you know that when there's two visions, that's called division? You know that's right? And division and rebellion are like first cousins, and that's like the sin of witchcraft according to the word. So we got to be careful here that we're unified. What's the practical application? I'll give you three things. Number one, focus on what you can do. Be more concerned about yourself than policing everybody else. Sorry for all you police officers. Thank you for what you do. Be more concerned about policing yourself than policing everybody else. There is a biblical time for correction, direct, all that, okay? But what's Jesus say? Get rid of the plank first before you take the speck out of your... That's in the Bible, by the way. Focus on what you can do. Be more concerned about your own actions, intentions, facial expressions, words, etc. Number two, assume the best from one another. Don't assume the worst. Assume the best. Don't assume the worst. Have you ever, it's probably not here. It's probably not. Probably shouldn't even mention this here. But maybe you've heard of another person or another church or denomination or something, and maybe you've seen it. And so they had about this much information, and they responded like World War III. And all of a sudden, we went from like a 2 to a 15, like that, only to realize your limited point of view restricted your vision. Therefore, you didn't really understand what you were doing, and now you feel stupid. And it's probably not anybody in here. It's probably never happened to me once or twice a month. It's probably never happened. That's probably never. Assume the best in someone else. Assume the best in someone else. Give the same grace that you would want someone else to have towards you. If you were in front of me, beside me, or behind me, on 65 South, going towards the emergency room, when my son was in anaphylactic shock because we realized how allergic to milk he was at 2, you probably would have thought I was being a little rude. Did you know a Dodge Caravan will almost go 100? Not in a corner, but in a good downhill straightaway. You would have probably thought, who's that jerk going down the road like he owns the place? Like I didn't care. Because my son's trying to breathe. Assume the best. Assume someone else has a situation. Assume they've got an ordeal. Assume the best. The third thing is, determine that you're going to be the most difficult person to offend. That you're going to be the most difficult person to offend. Oh, you're going to have such a hard time offending me. I don't care. I'm going to be the last one in the room to be offended, not the first one. No matter what you say, sticks and bones may break my bones, but you're not going to offend me. I just made that up, right? You're not going to offend me. Be the person. I'm not going to be offended. Be liberated from the need to always be mad at the world. Be free, son. Be free, daughter. God help us to be free. There are those who want you constantly irritated. Don't you know that? There are those that want you constantly frustrated. There are those who want us constantly fighting. Don't you know that? But we are not of this world. We've been bought with a price. We're not our own. We're the under-rowers, man. We take direction from the captain. We row and sink. Number 3, under-rowers don't get the glory. Under-rowers don't get the glory. Throw the picture back up there if you would. Now, because I painted a cross-section of the battleship for you, we pulled it away. But nobody, I mean, you see, he's got some forearms. I don't know if you can tell from here, but he's got some forearms from all that rowing. Nobody knows who he is. His name is Ted, by the way. Middle Eastern guy, Ted. Corinthian Ted. Under rowers don't get the glory. You should view us as those who are not in it for the glory. They're not seen. They're in the bottom of the ship. At the bottom of the ship, it is difficult. It is nasty with a K. Canasty. It is grotesque. Because as the old proverb says, everything flows downhill. Therefore, they're in the bottom, and it's nasty. The bottom screams servanthood. It screams humility. It screams sacrifice. You don't become an under rower to be famous. You become an under rower to make him famous. You don't become an under rower so people can say, look how fancy they row. Look at how they row. Aren't they good rowers? You become an under rower so that the world says, look at that captain. Look at how glorious he is. Look at how wonderful he is. Under rowers don't get the glory. You become an under rower to bring fame to the captain, to glorify Christ. In the battle, everything rises and falls on the leader. They're the ones with the ultimate responsibility. Can I just encourage you for a moment, under rowers? Rest in knowing that Jesus is in charge. Rest in knowing that Christ is at the helm. Rest in knowing in the end, the church wins. In the end, his ship is victorious. In the end, he sinks every enemy vessel. Our job is to give glory to the captain. And as under rowers, we get the satisfaction of knowing we're serving the victorious captain. Had an opportunity to meet a very interesting man, a man by the name of Paul. I don't think that's his real name, but that's what he went by in the States. His name's Paul I, A-I. He's Vietnamese. He's from North Vietnam. He got saved under the communist regime. He got saved. When the communists rolled in, I'll get my timeline off, forgive me, 60s, 70s, the church had to go underground. And they arrested Paul for disobedience. All kinds of trumped up charges. They put Paul in prison for preaching the gospel. It's in northern Vietnam. Paul goes to prison and he doesn't stop preaching. And he begins to lead people to Christ and he becomes a problematic prisoner. So they put him in solitary confinement. And he developed a system of code. They went mostly with Morse code in which he would preach the gospel through Morse code in solitary confinement to other prisoners. So he became a problematic prisoner in solitary confinement. He ultimately was moved to an all-women's prison. And the thinking was, we will get that out of him by putting him all alone with a bunch of women. And we'll see what kind of preacher he is. Paul I recognizes the dilemma. And he says, you don't understand prison by having a snapshot of what it's like in the States. He said, there were times where I could not even lay down and completely stretch out because the cell was so small. And we didn't have toilets. We had holes in the floor. So the first thing he did in the women's prison was volunteer for the worst job. He would become their plumber. And he would physically take human waste and push it down into the hole. That earned them the respect of the women. And eventually, revival breaks out. I start getting saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, healed, delivered. They ultimately kick Paul out of the country. He says on his helicopter ride over, they said, "You are never coming back to here." They allowed him to be a, I don't know what the title is, when you get kicked out of a country. He turns to the pilot, says, "I'll be back." They said, "Paul, you're crazy." Paul, I came to the States, established a ministry. Now he goes in and out of Vietnam preaching the gospel. Here's the point. He understood the assignment. He understood the assignment. At the bottom of the boat, it don't smell good. At the bottom of the boat, it's non-glorious work. At the bottom of the boat, it can be difficult. Under rowers are not in it for the glory. I struggled with this as a young person in ministry. And let me just help you, because someone helped me. I felt like every time someone tried to encourage me, I had to completely deflect that and completely, you know, push that away, because I might be viewed as prideful. Example, let's say we've got an Impact Girls leader on Wednesday night. She's just pouring into those girls at 6:45 to 8 every Wednesday night. Plug, plug, plug. At 6:45, she's just pouring into those girls, and she's mentoring them, teaching the gospel, teaching, loving them, loving them, loving them. And you recognize her hard work, and you write her a card this afternoon, and you say, "Oh, thank you so much for what you do. Thank you for pouring into them. I know you have to give up free time. I know that this costs you something. I know that you wish many times you could just go to sleep, but you stay up and study and prepare, and you get your stuff in order so that our girls can know the captain. I just want to encourage you and say, good job, keep it up." I didn't know what to do with that kind of thing. And so finally someone said, "Tim, here's how you respond. Say, thank you very much. And be encouraged." So, he's the one that gets the glory, but it's okay and encouraged to encourage one another and be encouraged from one another. Did that help some of you? Because I struggled with that. I didn't know what to do when I would say 15 minutes of coherent things together, and it made sense for the first time, and people said, "Oh, that, thank you, I received something." I was so shocked that they received something that I was just trying to get through it because I was so scared, right? Do you know where I'm going with this? Be encouraged and be an encourager. John says in John chapter 3, verse 30, here's what it says. "He must become greater, I must become less. He must become greater, and I must become what? Less." There it is. There it is. Worship team, I want you to come. I want you to come. "He must become greater, and I must become less." Jesus Christ is the manifestation of the glory of God, God incarnate. Our job is to remove every hindrance and obstacle from our life that keep people from seeing him. Every word out of our mouth that keeps people from seeing him, just get rid of it. Every attitude that keeps people from seeing him. Take it to him. Every prejudice, every false idea, that has set up camp in your thoughts, your will, your emotion. Tear it down so that others can see him. Jesus, shape us in such a way that you get the glory. Shape us in such a way that you get the honor. Under rowers don't get the glory. Under rowers row in unison. Under rowers trust the captain. And under rowers keep their hands on the oars. Under rowers keep their hands on the oars. So the job requires consistency. Anytime there was a break, came with the words of the captain. The job of the under rower was to keep their hands on the oars. What's the word say? Be instant in season and out of season. That doesn't mean you ought to be always stressed out. That means the work of Christ in you, the hope of glory, at any time the master may call upon to steer the ship in a certain direction. You never know what a simple, kind gesture or a facial expression or a card or an encouraging word. Here's a thought. Why do you think the people that the religious leaders of Christ's day seem to despise wanted to hang out with Jesus? That's an interesting thought. Why would they want to? Why did the kids want to hang out with Jesus? Remember? They're all coming to him. And the big people said, hey, whoa, hold on a minute. This is for the important people. Get the little guys out of here. And Jesus shut the whole thing down. He said, you missed the point entirely. Unless you come like one of them, you can't even get in the kingdom. Let them come on. You got to come like that. Let the children come on. But they liked Jesus. They didn't tolerate him. They actually liked him. They wanted to hang out with him. Keep your hands on the oars. Galatians 6:9 says this. Do not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest, what's it say, if we do not give up. Let us not become weary in doing good. For the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Under rowers keep their hands on the oars. So in these little baskets, I've got miniature little paddles. I hand-carved all 100 of them right after I painted the picture. You can find literally anything on Amazon. 1.93 inches. of paddling power. And on them, that same guy that writes like scripture on a piece of rice, you ever seen that deal? I had him come in and write 1 Corinthians 4:1 on these. You ever seen that deal? Okay. I had him come in. We hired him to come in. All right, Vanessa did it. 1 Corinthians 4:1. So I did that because what I would like for you to do is come and take one before you leave so that you will remember you are called to be an under rower. You are called to deflect glory to Him. You are called to row in unison with the other under rowers. Some of you are wondering, why do you take time to do a potluck lunch? Because it is important for you to get to know the girl rowing next to you, the guy on the other oar, so that you can row in unison. It behooves us to laugh together, to share one another's story, because sometimes in the heat of the battle, things can get intense. And there might be misunderstandings, and there might be tension. And you will know, hey, sometimes that happens. What I know about that person, they really do love me. But I don't know if they're driving 100 down I-65 because they've got an emergency. Therefore, I'm going to cut them some slack, give them some grace, and assume the best about them. That's why we do that. That's why we do that. And to eat Yolanda Collins' strawberry shortcake. Or whatever she's cooking. She'll probably get on to me later for saying that. Don't become weary in doing good. For the proper time we will reap a harvest. If we do not give up, would you stand up on your feet? Under rowers keep their hands on the paddles. Under rowers don't get the glory. They give glory to the captain. Under rowers row in unison, and under rowers trust the captain. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Father, thank you for your word to us. Thank you that your mercy endures forever. Great is your faithfulness. I thank you that you're Jehovah Rohi. You are the Lord, our shepherd. You strengthen us. You are our strengthener. You're our shepherd. You watch over us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I thank you that you lead us. You lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. You lead us through. We don't have to fear any evil because your rod, your staff, they comfort us. You prepare a table in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in your house forever and ever and ever because you're my shepherd. And I thank you for that. God, right now I'm asking you give us individual and collective power to row like we've never rowed before. If you're here and you've been wondering what your role is, we've got lunch today. I got a couple spots. If you sign up for the lunch, we got a spot for you. I got a couple more. Come join us right after this for lunch. God has a place for every person. It's not on the sideline. It's not on the sideline. It's not on the sideline. He's got a place for you. Because the captain of the armies of the Lord is calling us to row. Number two, maybe your hands have fallen off paddles. Maybe you've gotten discouraged. Maybe you've just been beat up by the battle, man. You've just been discouraged. Can I tell you that the grace of God is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient for you. If you're discouraged right now, I just want you to lift your hands to heaven. If you're discouraged, you just need the encouragement of heaven right now. Just lift your hands. Oh, God, give us encouragement. Encourage us in you, Captain. Encourage us, Lord, in you. If you become weary in well-doing, I want you to lift your hands. Lift your hands up. Oh God, pour out your strength upon us, Lord. Pour out your power upon us. Oh God, pour out your power upon us. We long for you. We long for you. Help, God, help us. Help us. If you're here and God is rooting out prideful tendencies, just lift your hands up right now. Say, oh God, root out every one of them. Root out every one of them, oh God. Root out every one of them that shields people from seeing you. Root out every thought, every action that screams. Root out every bit of pride out of this church. Root it out, oh God. We ask by your mercy that you would do that. If you're here today and you're not following Jesus, you came in the room not serving him, but you want to leave serving him. You came in the room, you are disconnected from God, you are far away from God, you're not following him, but today you say, today's my day. Today I surrender to Jesus. On the count of three, I just want you to wave at me so I can see you. I want to pray for you. You came in the room today not following Jesus. You want to leave following Jesus. I just want you to wave at me on the count of three. And that's you today. One, two, three. All over the room. All over the room. All over the room. Anyone today? Maybe you're watching online. Somehow you stumbled across this. Maybe you're watching it live. I want you just to raise your hand right there in your seat. Right there in your living room, wherever it is. I can't see you, obviously, but you can see you, and God can see you. He loves 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 you. Prayer, simple prayer, say, dear God, forgive me of my sins. I surrender to you. I surrender to you, Jesus. I believe, Jesus, you are the Son of God. That you were crucified, buried, and rose from the dead. Forgive me, oh God. I want a relationship with you. I surrender to you. Jesus, I make you my Lord. Pray that with sincerity. The work of the Holy Spirit is alive in your life. He's at work. He's in the business of working miracles. Our prayer leaders are going to come stand to the far right, far left. We're going to open these altars. What I want you to do is I want you to respond in some way. I would love for you to come get your personal paddle. 1 Corinthians 4:1, that you'd remember you're an under rower. You're an under rower. You're an under rower. You're an under rower. If you need prayer about anything specific, these men and women are available to pray with you, or you can just come stand. Get you one of these. As the team begins to sing, we're going to open this up, and we invite you to respond to the captain of the ship. Maybe the walk is one of surrender. Maybe it's one of God help me. Maybe it's one of God, I just need to remind myself. Maybe it's one of encouragement. Maybe it's one of God, I just need whatever it is. The captain is here. Jesus is here, and he loves you.
We want to thank you for listening to the message today. We would love for you to stop by and see us. Our services start at 10 a.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights, with various small groups throughout the week. Here at Life Church, we hope you have a great week.